Rod Brind'Amour, the Carolina Hurricanes, joins us here at Tableside. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we chatted with you when you guys were on your road trip to Calgary, and everyone was all over Dougie Hamilton at that point in Calgary. And then, yeah, just a few months later, you guys are still kicking. You win a Game 7 in overtime. I mean, what a ride for you guys.
It was an exciting year, for sure. A lot of kind of ups and not really a lot of downs, but it was just kind of steady. And then a nice surge, really, the second half of the year. Really, after we kind of – actually was after that road trip, because we went to Vancouver and then kind of started winning. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun. Like we talked earlier off air, but it was – we have a real good group of guys there. It makes it fun to coach, that's for sure.
How much was it about the belief at some point that you could do what most people predicted you wouldn't do?
I think that is probably the biggest thing. You know, you hear everybody's press conferences, the coaches, I mean, after their – when they win. I mean, I heard Torts, he talks about how much they believe. You know, like, it's cliche as ever, but when you're in it, and you're – especially with our group, I think, like you said, nobody – I mean, we're being honest there. We weren't probably predicted to beat the Washington Capitals, let alone get in the playoffs. But our guys did believe in each other and what we were doing and how we played, and that had a big factor in you know, at least having a chance to win.
Who on your roster surprised you the most?
Oh, boy. You know, this is going to be a weird answer, but Justin Williams. So, and not no surprise on his leadership and how he did things in the locker room. It was his on-ice play. Did not see that coming, to be that good all year. And he was just a steady force, played, you know, when I played with him back in the day, he was the same. You know, that was a long time ago, and he really had, I think, his best year as a player. And I know his points may not have been as high as his career high, but they were really, really good. And for a guy that at his age and did what he has done all his career to play the way he did for, I think he played every game, too.
Yeah.
He didn't miss a game. Like, that's, I didn't see that coming.
Played 87 games, regular season and playoffs, scored 23 goals in the regular season. I mean, yeah. what a huge ad for you guys.
Yeah. So I mean, he was everything that we needed, and now I got to hope he comes back. You know, that's going to be the question.
It's how do you — and this is your challenge when you do a lot of it on will, and you have some skill, but you have a lot of will. How do you repeat? How do you keep that message fresh? You know.
I think that's every coach, though, has that challenge in a way. I mean, some teams are, you know, I think you look at their lineups, they're going to be, okay, you know, they're in the playoffs. And you look at our lineup, there will probably be questions again whether we're going to be able to make it. And the message for every coach, I think, struggles with is trying to keep it fresh. We have 82 games a year, and you're basically doing the same things every night. And how do you give your players a fresh, you know, taste of what we want to do and spice it up? That's really what you're doing for 82 games now. A whole new kind of message coming into the season. You want to keep it fresh. You want to keep — that's the challenge. I got to figure something out. But I think we got to build on what we did. And so we were able to create a pretty good identity with our team. Can't falter on that. We got to stick with that and then, you know, try to add here or there. And you got to keep getting better. Everybody else is going to.
Rod Brind'Amour joins us here on the program, Walker Rental. I know you've told this story before, but it wasn't your idea. The whole storm surge happens kind of organically out of nowhere. From your perspective, how did you kind of see that develop, and from your vantage point, how did it become so popular?
Well, we talked about it. I mean, this didn't just happen. Justin Williams and I had a conversation in August, and we were like, okay, look, we're 10 years, we haven't made the playoffs. We got to spice it up, but we got to engage our group, our fans again. We have a tremendous following in Raleigh. They're just been — I don't care where, other than Canada, you guys are spoiled. You know, you go 10 years without winning any majority of any place on the planet,
sure,
for a sports team. Nobody wants to see that, you know, and so give them something to be excited about. We got to engage the fans a little differently than the traditional, you know, everyone go after the game, sticks their stick up in the air, woo-woo. No one's sticking around to see that, right? And so put that out there, and the guys talked it out, and, you know, next thing you know, they're doing something different. And I was all for it. And when I saw the reaction of our fans to it, that's what made it special. So you're like, boom. It wasn't for you guys. You know, it wasn't for the media at all.
Yeah.
Like, it was after the game. Cameras are off. This is, you know, so then it morphed into what it did, and it actually was the best thing that could happen for what we needed to do, which was bring our fans, you know, an engagement with the players. We have a pretty good connection there, I think, going, and it worked out for us. What everyone else thinks, it's irrelevant. totally irrelevant. Our fans all love it, and our players love it. So well, I don't know what they're going to do if we continue this. I feel like we have to do something to keep the fans. You know, it was their thing with the players. They're going to be looking for something. So we'll see what those guys come up with.
Well, I'm not sure what your perception is. My perception is that while there were some hockey traditionalists who said, you can't do that, most people that I heard from, most people that texted or called into our station said they loved it. They loved the fact that it was different. Even though it might not work in Vancouver, they loved the fact that Carolina had found its own unique thing. Is that most of the feedback that you got?
100%. And I do think it's almost a little bit of the, you know, the Canadian markets versus the U.S., you know, because you guys grew up, this is hockey is different. I mean, this is our life here, and that's not how we do it. But it's different down there. And so I think it's all good. Nobody's getting hurt by it. And if we can engage our fans, then we need to do that. And I hope we continue to do something like that.
So did you have like a suggestion box?
Yep.
Did you come up with any?
No. I stayed right out of it. And I was happy to not know what they were going to do, because it was actually entertaining for me to see, okay, what are they doing now? Yeah. And the guys were loving it. You know, and that's what made it fun for me, because it wasn't one of those things where, you know, we all know that, you got to do this. You know, okay, we'll go meet and greet. You know, it wasn't like that. They were the ones pushing it. And to see the reaction. I mean, you see that they're smiling ear to ear, and some of them are hilarious, and some worked out unbelievable. Like when we had Evander Holyfield walk into our locker room, first of all, I was geeked like nobody's business, and then I had to dial it down a notch because most of the guys didn't know who he was, right? Because you forget. Like I was like, yeah, this is the greatest athlete ever, in my opinion,
right?
Like one of them, and he's in our locker room. And then we win, and he's wanting to get involved in that. Like that's cool.
Why do I get the sense that if you had planned one, it would have been some sort of like strongman competition or guys bench pressing each other out there?
No. I stay out of it. That's their thing.
Rod Brind'Amour joins us here on the program, Walker Rintoul, Sportsnet 650. Tell us about Aho a little bit. We had such a great year here with Elias Pettersson, and what wins the Calder, obviously, last night. And kind of the theme was, yeah, you draft the guy fifth overall, you expect him to be good. But he became this franchise changer so much quicker than people had anticipated. And you need sometimes those, like, oh, my God, this guy's better than we thought, to lift up your group. Is he that in Carolina?
I think very similar. I think nowadays the young guys are the league. And so they are your best players. The fact is that's what they are. So why not? I think we elevate them a little quicker than maybe we have in the past. But when they're your best guys – and they play the way they do, they're special players. You need them out there, kind of leading the way. And you guys got a special player here. I mean, this guy, obviously, like Captain Obvious here, but you notice him every shift. And that's the kind of guys that there's not that many of them around. And Aho's one of them. When he's on his game, you notice him every shift. Every time he gets the puck, you're like, whoa, there's a wow factor. And, we're lucky to have him, and you guys are lucky to have the guy you have. And I tell you what, Vancouver's going to be good here in sometime soon, and I mean good as far as contending. I think the young talent they're starting to get is special.
Do you believe Svechnikov can be one of those players as well?
He's on his way. I love this kid. I love him. He just comes to work every day. He's one of those dreams as a coach. Like, he's learning the language a little bit. I mean, he can speak English, but that's not his, he's trying to figure that out. But he comes in your office and he's like, hey, teach me, mm-hmm. I don't get it. And I'm like, really? Okay, let's sit down. And then you see he just does what he's told, and then looks at you like, kind of, is that right? And I love him. And he plays hard. And now that he's confident, like, he's a little unsure. He's 18 years old in the NHL. Like, they're not sure. I just come out of junior hockey. Can I try this? And he doesn't. And then now wait a minute, I can blow by this defenseman and take it to the net. So I just think he's going to get better and better.
It was probably, we all make mistakes. It was probably inadvisable to drop him with Ovi. He's a bit of a beast. But what did that do?
I'm going to spill the beans on this.
Okay.
Because I wanted to set the record straight on this. That's not what happened. So and it happened that he fought him, yes. He shouldn't have done that. In my opinion, that was a bad move. He's never fought in his life, doesn't know what he's doing, got paid the price. But this goes back way before that. Okay, this goes back to preseason. Okay, they just won the Stanley Cup. The Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup. Ovi's partying like a rock star, like he should. Okay, we go to play them, their first preseason game. I'm like, this is going to be the easiest game ever. Correct? Like, you would think, why does Ovi want to play this game? So my guy's out there, Svesh, and I come back after the game going, what just happened there? Ovi chased him around the whole game. I've never seen him play so hard in a preseason game. Crack, you could just see something was up. For the four games we played him in the regular season, same thing. Obi's chasing our guy around. Cheap shots, the hits, the late hits, the things that you wouldn't expect. Okay, so this something's boiling on here, and I don't know what it was. And then you watch that how that whole incident went down. That's not how it was portrayed. It was not what happened. He gave it to him. Our guy gave it back to him, but it was you watch who's instigating that whole situation. And then you want to go? Do you want to go? Our guy, yeah, okay. He didn't ask him to go first. It was the other way around. And then if you really watch what happened, Ovi actually drops the gloves first. Our guy then reacts and then gets his face punched in. So the whole thing is not how it was portrayed. Our guy chasing him around was not it at all. So I was really upset about the fact that that's how it came out because that's not what happened. Now, did he have to fight? He could have easily just hung on to him and we would never even be talking about this. So you get where I'm coming from. It wasn't quite exactly how it's been portrayed. How you guys even throw it at me? That's not what happened.
So we got to figure out what the beef was. That
I don't
got
know
this
what
whole
it, that's
thing
between
going.
Ovi and you know,
sure.
Ovi's a great player, and he came up after, and he was, you know, when we shook in handshake line, I give him a lot of credit. He was asking, "Hey, how's the kid doing?" Like, you know, I don't think he wanted to damage him like that. Nobody really ever does in a fight, but there was more to it. I don't know what it is. I hope that thing's over with. I don't need to be dealing with this next year. It's, you know, fighting
sure.
for me. That's why I don't like fighting. I don't like it because that can happen. And, you know, we got tough guys, but we don't need that stuff going on.
NHL entry draft round one coming up tomorrow. What do you remember about 88? It was such an awesome draft. And it goes, Modano and Trevor Linden obviously was a big one here in Vancouver. And then 8, 9, 10, Roenick, yourself, Teemu Selänne. I mean, tough to get better than that.
It was a good class. I was kind of the underdog on that because I was playing at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
In the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, right, the Power League. And so no one really knew who I was. I know I was coming into the draft, I was supposed to go in the 20s. So, I mean, I got some stories on it. You guys don't want to hear them, but it was one knew. The draft was in Montreal, and they give you – this is back in the day when things weren't as good as they are now, but they kind of gave the top guys tickets where to sit so that when the name calls, the camera knows exactly where you are. Boom. And these all the guys, the top 10 guys, were all sitting – front row. So I go to get my seat, and I'm behind the main screen almost. You know, like you're wherever. Just go. We're good. We don't need you kind of thing. So when my name gets called, I'm having to go through all these, you know, it took me forever to get down because I'm so far up the thing, and I'm passing all the guys that were supposed to go ahead of me. So it was kind of like, all right. That was, you know, a nice little moment there.
Yeah.
But, you know, good class, like you mentioned, some great players and, you know, it was fun to look back on.
It's funny you mentioned Wilcox. It's this outpost in Saskatchewan, but the guys that you played with, Curtis Joseph there, but
sure,
you know, Vinny LeCavalier goes through there. Brad Richards goes through there.
Yeah.
Just this factory.
It's an incredible place. It certainly was. You know, I think it was more unique back then. Now there's other of these kind of places popping up. And times have changed, right? Like, it was a tough place to go. You got out. You came out of there, you were grizzled. And I think now things change. Barry McKenzie, who you may or may not know, was the coach of all these mm-hmm. guys, myself included. Legend. Best coach I've ever had in my life. Best coach I've ever seen anywhere. And, you know, that had a lot to do with all these guys that you mentioned. You go back even further. He started with the Wendell Clarks and the Russ Courtnels.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden, the list of the names of this guy's been around that have played in the NHL that were impactful players is off the charts. And, you know, he's not coaching anymore. He's retired and he's doing his thing. But I think he had a lot to do with everyone's success.
Rod Brindamore, the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, joining us here one day before the NHL entry draft in Vancouver. You said last summer when you took this job, you knew exactly what you were getting into and that it was a fluid situation potentially, but you thought you could succeed. How validating has this past year been for you?
Very validating. I think on both fronts, on the front of, you know, I said we were either going to be really good or really bad, and I was happy with that because the murky middle gets you nowhere in this league. Like, if you're just kind of hanging around, you never get the top players. You never – like, you just kind of cruise in there, and it's no good. So I really felt it was going to go one way or another, but either way would have been good, you know. And with ownership, obviously new, Tom Dundon is an incredible owner. I'll just leave it at that. The guy is the hardest-working guy in the NHL. I know that. He literally is – you know, right now he's working stuff. He's involved, and I think you know, some might say too involved, but he, at least he cares, and he's trying to put a winner together. And you know, we'll see.
So you have success, and usually with success, guys want to get paid. People look at the situation a little differently than before. They were known commodities. Tom Dundon does things a little bit differently. Do you think the success of this past year will have altered the way he does business or wants to do business?
Well, we'll see. I don't think so. I think he originally didn't think we would be this good this soon, meaning have that much success. So I think it was more of a, his plan has changed because he wants to win. Like he calls me when we lose, doesn't call me when we win, right? He's like, oh man, what are you doing? Like he wants to win. And I appreciate that. And owning an NHL team is, there's a lot going on. And he's been involved every step of the way. And, you know, I know how coaching ends, but for now, you know, it's going well, and, you know, we'll see.
You're such a straight shooter. I get the sense that he is as well when you deal with him face-to-face, and that's something you probably appreciate.
Totally. We're talking now is how we talk. So that's why I think it's going to work, at least for now. And when it doesn't work, I think the conversation will be like, we both agree this isn't working anymore. So I think that's how it'll be. I enjoy working for him. And, again, I enjoy being involved. Like, we're – everything now that we talk about, he runs through me, and we kind of we spitball it. So I think it's the way – I think any coach would like to have it.
You're looking to improve. Like, do you have a couple – maybe deal breakers is the wrong word, but are you able to say, hey, like, I need this. I need X in order for us to compete.
We talk about that as a staff, and, again, we all know what we need. I think getting it is every team knows what they want to get. It's getting it is the hard part, but we definitely need some improvement in areas. And, you know, I know we're working at trying to do it. So that's at least half the battle.
We talk a lot, or we have talked a lot over the course of this past year about how the NHL regular season isn't played like the NHL playoffs, especially now. And there seems to be a greater difference because it's far less hitting in the regular season than maybe we've ever seen, more focus on skill and speed. How difficult is that challenge as a coach, knowing that you need a hybrid team, one that's good enough to get to the playoffs and then one that's good enough to compete and win in the playoffs?
That's a great question because, really, that is what's happened now. And I think, to your point, it has been the biggest difference I've seen in regular season to playoffs. Like, it went from old-school playoff hockey a little bit where it was physical, hard, awesome hockey. Like, I loved it, whereas the regular season still was awesome, but it didn't feel the same. And so, you know, look at St. Louis. Now everyone's going to go, they're the blueprint to win, right? So what did they have? Well, they didn't have a lot of small guys out there. And, you know, does everyone go back to that? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I think there's a definite, you just said hybrid. There's something there. You got to have that combination. You can't win playing slow hockey. We know that. But let's face it, winning the Stanley Cup's tough, and you better have guys that, you know how to play that way too.
Rod Brind'Amour joins us. So before you go, you can tell us who you're taking at 28. That makes our job tomorrow easier.
I can tell you I hope we're taking, but I don't think he'll be sitting around by 28. So he'd be nice. Yeah. Can we get him?
Yeah, we'll see if he slips.
Yeah. If he slips, I guarantee we take him. How about that? If he's at 28, I can guarantee you that we will take him.
Breaking news. You might have to trade up a little bit.
Well, you tell me this. As the coach, how nervous, anxious are you about wheeling and dealing that your owner and GM may make just because Tom Dundon does things a little differently?
No, I'm not nervous because we'll have talked about everything. So there's nothing that I don't think it will just happen and we didn't know about it. I mean, I think he's been real upfront with that, and that's what I love about it. We're everything that's going on, we're kind of in the loop, and it makes it exciting. And so I don't think we'll catch anything like that, but – you know, last year at the draft, we made a pretty big splash.
Yes, you did.
If there's a team that's going to do something, keep your eyes on us. That's what I'm saying. So that seems to be how he likes to operate.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Of course.
Yeah, thanks, Rod.
You got it.
We enjoyed it.
Really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
Sportsnet 650.